It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Later in the hour, I'll talk with the national director of a poll out today. It's a poll you've heard about many times before. Jay Ann Selzer involved with that, the new Grinnell College National Poll. I'll be talking with the poll's director, Peter Hansen, in our second half hour. Talk about the president's approval numbers, about foreign influence helping a candidate, and about the public's attitudes on the impeachment process coming up in our second half hour. First of all, though, when you go to the polls, and it is next week, yes, Election Day. It is an off year, but there are local elections. Don't forget your ID. Next week is Iowa's first statewide election where the state's voter ID law will be enforced. Let's talk about this and other changes to our state voting laws with IPR state government reporter Katarina Sestarek. Hi, Katarina.
Hi, Ben.
A little later, after talking with you, you're going to be with us in the first half hour. We're going to talk with some of our neighboring states, Wisconsin, Missouri, and Illinois, reporters there about changes to their voting laws. But let's talk about Iowa first and foremost. Tell us more about the voter ID law and what is different about this election.
Sure. So this voter ID law was passed in 2017 when Republicans took full control of our state government, and it shortened the time frame for early voting as well and for absentee ballot requests. It got rid of straight party voting. It allowed 17-year-olds to register to vote. They can even participate in primaries and caucuses if they'll turn 18 in time for the November 2020 general election. And there was also a provision that allowed county auditors to throw out absentee ballots if they think the signature didn't come from that voter, but that is not currently in effect. So we've seen quite a few changes in voting laws just over the past couple years.
Okay, just to make sure, and I did a few days ago, I voted early and I had my ID with me. I was asked for my ID. I presented my ID, so no problems there. But what if you don't bring an ID? And we mean what? A driver's license would be best, right?
Right. So just to list some, a driver's license, a state ID, a military ID, a U.S. passport, a tribal ID, or the state-issued voter ID card are accepted forms of ID on Election Day. And for people who don't have any of these, they can contact their county auditor about getting a voter ID card. These are just these small paper squares that are sent out by the state. They were automatically mailed to people who don't have a driver's license or a state ID, but now anyone can request one if you're unsure about using any other form of ID. And if you still don't have any of those forms, you can vote a provisional ballot and then go back to the county auditor in the next few days to show a document so that your vote will count. So I think that's important to remember that even if you're not sure about if your ID will work, you should still try to vote.
Mm-hmm. Remind us, this goes back to the changes from the 2017 legislative session now coming into full force with the voter ID being required for this election for the first time. What was the reason the GOP gave for this change?
They mainly said it was to prevent voter fraud, to maintain integrity in Iowa's elections. And we know that there is no evidence of widespread voter fraud in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. So the Democrats had a different opinion on that. Let's talk about the absentee early voting still going on as usual. Any change there?
The time frames for those have been shortened, and there actually is sort of some confusion after a recent court ruling. One of the new requirements in this law was also to put a driver's license number or a voter PIN number on absentee ballot requests or when you go to early vote in person. It might vary from county auditor to county auditor. Because under this recent court ruling, county auditors are supposed to fill in that information if a voter doesn't have it for some reason. But it could vary. There's some confusion after this court ruling. And I think, again, it's best to remember that you should still try to vote if you don't have that number.
Mm-hmm. We had Governor Kim Reynolds proposing a constitutional amendment to automatically restore voting rights to felons. That didn't go through, right? So what is the status of that? It's still where it was before. They have to, after completing sentence, they have to apply to the governor to have their voting rights reinstated?
Right. So Iowa remains one of two states that don't automatically restore voting rights to felons who have completed their sentence. And the House passed a constitutional amendment, a proposed constitutional amendment in the last session. The Senate did not pass it. Governor Reynolds says that she is still trying to push that in the upcoming session, is working with the Senate on maybe finding something that they can agree to. But that would be it still would be a long process for getting that onto the ballot for a vote of the people. And so currently, people with felony convictions would still have to apply individually to the governor.
Okay, Katerina, stay with us as we survey some other neighboring states about their voting laws. I want to get back to you to ask about the upcoming session, if we're likely to see any changes, further changes to our voting laws here in Iowa. Let's go to our neighbor, Illinois. Brian Mackey is with us in Illinois, State House reporter with NPR in Illinois. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hey, Ben, how are you?
Very good. Let's get acquainted with Illinois, and to do that, we have to get acquainted with the dramatic shift from Iowa. We are under unified Republican governance here in Iowa, both chambers as well as the governor in the hands of the GOP. Remind us of the politics of Illinois, because it is important to know that when we talk about Illinois voting laws, isn't it?
Yeah, Illinois is a bit of an outlier in the Midwest these days in that it's under unified Democratic control, and not just slight Democratic control, but Democratic supermajority control. Although I will say our last major change to voting laws happened back when we did have a Republican governor a couple years ago.
Okay. Do voters in Illinois need to present an ID as Iowans now do?
The general answer to all these questions is going to be, if there's a sort of conservative policy position you can take in terms of voting rights, Illinois probably has the opposite. So on that specific question, voter ID, no, absolutely not. You just have to present yourself at the poll, and then if you are in the registration book, you can vote. And if you're not in the registration book, well, Illinois has same-day voter registration, so you can just go sign up and vote anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about early and absentee voting?
Yeah, Illinois has pretty generous and policies in this regard. You can vote early and you can vote absentee for any reason. In fact, they call it vote by mail. They don't really have absentee voting. You don't have to even pretend that you're going to be out of town on the day of the election. You can just request a vote by mail ballot and do it that way. And in fact, this is something that the candidates have started to really aggressively pursue and take advantage of. I heard quite a few people in the last election cycle were getting vote by mail applications mailed to them, not by the election authorities, but by the campaigns. And then the individual recipient would then take that and mail it to the election authorities themselves to request a mail ballot. So, again, it's an instance in which pretty wide system that's meant to encourage as many people to vote as possible.
Mm-hmm. Early voting, I assume, going on in Illinois right now. How big is that window? How long?
Well, yeah, no, Illinois does not really have an off-year election in the fall this year. So We did have a municipal set of elections earlier this year, but the next set of elections in Illinois will be for next spring in our primary, for time to the presidential year.
Mm-hmm. Is voter fraud an issue or being talked about at all in Illinois?
I mean, you have some people who echo voices that you hear nationally making assertions about fraud, although often with not a lot of evidence or pointing to one case here and there. But, I mean, generally, it's not something in our legislative conversation where there's any great concern about voter fraud or anything like that. I mean, we did have some concerns over the fact that Illinois' voter database was targeted by Russian military intelligence, one of a handful of states where that happened in the 2016 elections. And information came out at the time. It later also came out in the Mueller investigation. One of the indictments was against some Russian military officers, and one of the charges there included attempting to hack into the systems of an unnamed state board of elections, which everybody in Illinois basically said, based on the descriptions, they thought was the Illinois State Board of Elections.
Mm-hmm. So was that proven? Did, in fact, Russia hack into any Illinois voter systems?
I mean, not proven in a court of law, but that's certainly what the federal government investigators say. That's what the Illinois election authorities say happened. So they were able to get in and access some information about, depending on how you count it, the federal government said 200,000 records were identified. Illinois authorities say it's really only 70,000 people, but the federal government counts it like, well, your name is one piece of information, your driver's license is another, your address is a third. Anyway, the state notified those people that their information had been compromised the same way it would be when we've heard about hacks at Target and Equifax and other private companies. Of course, the Board of Elections doesn't have people's credit card numbers, but according to election authorities, they have not heard of anyone who's actually suffered an ID theft or anything along those lines as a result of this. And the election officials are also very careful to say this was sort of a master roll of voter registration. They were able to read the data. They weren't able to change it or delete it. And it has nothing to do with how the votes are actually counted, which happens in Illinois in 108 separate jurisdictions, mostly counties, and then a few towns have their own boards of elections. So that system is completely separate from the thing that the Russians targeted.
Right. Nevertheless, did this prompt any calls for increased voter system security?
It did. The Board of Elections took some steps, worked with the state's information technology authorities to secure their own systems. And then as part of a federal push to spend money securing election systems, it also the state of Illinois dispatched what they called cyber navigators. So I mentioned there are 108 election jurisdictions. Some of these are pretty small counties where they might not even have their own full-time information technology staff, and yet they are charged with securing their election systems against a hostile foreign government. And so what the state was able to do, it says, is send people out and try and improve security at the local level, particularly in these counties that needed it.
Mm-hmm. Brian, before we go, and I have to ask you to be quick on this one, just wanted to point out a difference with Iowa voting rights. Felons have their voting rights immediately reinstated upon completion of prison sentence.
That's right, after you do your sentence. And in fact, there was just a law passed this year to try and make sure that for people who are in jail awaiting trial can exercise their rights to vote.
Okay, Brian Mackey, thanks for giving us a view to the east in Illinois, voting laws there. Brian Mackey, State House reporter, NPR Illinois. Thanks, Brian.
Good to be with you, Ben.
Good to be with you. Let's move up to Wisconsin. Laurel White is with us, politics reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Laurel.
Hi there.
Well, I want to run down a few of the areas that we've been talking about with our other people here today. Let's go to voter ID. Is a voter ID required at Wisconsin polls?
Voter ID is required in Wisconsin. We've had a fair bit of turmoil in the courts over voter ID over the past several years. We actually passed the law in 2011, but the first major election that voter ID was in place in Wisconsin wasn't until 2016. So we've had quite a bit of back and forth there. Mm-hmm.
Is that all worked out in the courts yet?
It is not. It's still pending before a federal court. The Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago heard arguments in one of the cases way back in 2017, and they still haven't issued a ruling in that yet. So we could get some action still on that. But the law has been, as I mentioned, allowed to go into place. So we've had some experience now, a few years of elections a little over a year of elections to kind of see how the law plays out.
Here in Iowa, we have unified Republican control in both chambers and in the governor, the governorship. What is the picture in Wisconsin?
So as of earlier this year, a Democratic governor was sworn in January. We, of course, had unified Republican control before that. We had Governor Scott Walker and a Republican legislature. Now we have a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature.
Mm-hmm. Any other points of interest in Wisconsin's voting laws that you can point to?
Well, I think it's really interesting. I talked about that switch from the Republican governor to the Democratic governor that we've had this year. We had a lame duck session in December of last year where the Republican legislature passed several laws related to voting, and Governor Walker signed them before he left office. A couple attempts to kind of put a few things in place that they knew Walker supported before Evers came into office. So one of those, some other folks you've had on today have talked a little bit about early voting.
Mm-hmm.
So one of these provisions passed during the lame duck session would limit early voting to just the 2 weeks before Election Day. We've seen particularly bigger cities in Wisconsin expanding their early voting in recent years. Madison and Milwaukee in particular have had several weeks of early voting recently. So this would have reined that in a little bit. They also put some new requirements on the kinds of IDs that you can use for voter ID, putting a 2-year expiration date on student IDs, some more kind of wonky stuff like that. But what's interesting there is that courts got involved again, and actually those lame duck changes on voting laws got wrapped into that voter ID case that I told you heard arguments in 2017. So there's a stay on those provisions right now, so they haven't been allowed to go into place.
Laurel in Wisconsin, before we go, we have less than a minute, but I wanted to ask you about a study that we read about from the University of Wisconsin that showed the voter ID laws do keep some voters from the polls, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this has been a huge discussion in Wisconsin, obviously, for the past several years with Democrats and a number of groups filing lawsuits saying that it places an undue burden on certain populations, particularly populations that tend to vote for Democrats, minority communities, young people. So we have certainly seen a lot of those studies and a lot of discussion about that. On the other side of the coin, Republicans argue that the voter ID law is really essential for ensuring the integrity of our election. So,
are there many cases or any cases of voter fraud there demonstrated in Wisconsin?
No. We have not had any remarkable amount of voter fraud in Wisconsin. You know, nothing outside the norm of just a few little things here and there.
Okay, Laurel White, that's all the time we have for Wisconsin. Thank you very much for the picture. Politics reporter, Wisconsin Public Radio, Laurel White. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, let's move south to Missouri. Brian Ellison is with us, host of State House Blend Missouri at KCUR in Kansas City. Brian, welcome to the program.
Always good to be with you, Ben.
Let's talk about voter ID. Is it required in Missouri?
It is required. It has been since June of 2017. Voters actually approved the state's photo ID law. 63% of voters did in that 2016 election. But it's actually been under a lot of criticism ever since, including court attack. The measure requires photo ID in order to vote, but then it also provides options, including alternative IDs that are accepted, things like school ID or your voter registration card or even a utility bill. Here's the catch, and what has been the subject of a court case. To use those alternative IDs, the person is required to sign an affidavit that says, I do not possess a form of personal identification approved for voting. That became the subject of a lawsuit that was filed in June of last year and actually made its way to the state Supreme Court just 3 weeks ago. The state court judge has actually struck down that portion of the law. At present, people are not required to sign that affidavit, but the state attorney general and the state secretary of state have been defending the law, which, of course, critics of the law say is likely to keep people, especially vulnerable populations, from voting.
Interesting. I also see it in contrast to here in Iowa and other Midwest neighbors of Missouri. Missouri does not permit early voting or what is called no excuse absentee voting. Tell us about that.
That's right. If your listeners are feeling whiplash after zipping over to Illinois, it now zips all the way back the other way, and in fact further than Iowa. There is no early voting in Missouri. There never has been. There also is no mail-in voting other than absentee voting, for which you have to sign a statement that says you will be physically out of your voting jurisdiction and unable to vote on Election Day. The result of that, especially in places like Kansas City and St. Louis, is long lines on Election Day. I will say that this has become something of a bipartisan issue to some degree. At least 8 bills were introduced to create excuse-free absentee voting in this 2019 legislative session, but none of them made it out of committee. Only one of them got a hearing, and that was one introduced by 2 Republican lawmakers. It has generally been opposed by Republican leadership, which, for comparison's sake, we should note, Republicans have supermajorities in both the House and the Senate in Missouri and a Republican governor.
Mm-hmm. So what is the rationale for not allowing, when it's debated in the legislature, what are the reasons given for not allowing early voting or no excuse absentee voting?
There are always some comments about the logistics and the expense involved with early voting, setting up additional voting procedures at the county level. Although, as you're noting, it's quite common in all of the states around Missouri. The other main critique of absentee voting, the one that we hear again and again from Republican leaders, including Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, is the risk of to voting integrity, the risk of voting fraud, which Jay Ashcroft has said repeatedly is a much greater threat than election hacking, the risk of someone voting who should not be allowed to vote.
Right. And someone can point out to him his neighboring states, which do have early voting and actually next to no voter fraud, right?
Well, that's right. And there's next to no voter fraud in Missouri either. You know, my colleagues from around the Midwest have said here, there is very